Now, aren't our puppies, they're relatively seasonal, too. So when's the first puppy season come per year?
I think it depends on the breed. You know, I know a lot of people, when they start looking at breeding the larger dogs, they want the puppies to be available in the spring, because a lot of new dog owners are going to want to be able to have the nicer weather to potty train the dog, house break the dog, and
sure.
do some of those things.
So maybe the time of year that you pick them up, because there's certainly a lot of social activity and social outgoings when the weather's warm. You know, you can go to the park, you can go to different social areas,
kids
and down the street.
Games.
Yeah. And so that wouldn't be a bad thing to consider when we're thinking about that. So from the 8 to 12 week period of time, we've got a lot of social interaction. Anything else with that period, or should we move on to the 16 and up?
Well, I think everything threads through the entire life of the dog. It's just more significant during those weeks. You know,
okay.
stuff like having the small children in the home feed the puppy and, you know, put the dish down, pick the dish up. Pick
sure.
up some kibble, put the kibble back. So the dog gets accustomed to people being around his food dish and knowing that nobody's taking this away.
Right.
But you're not going to be allowed to growl or grumble
right.
or nip or snap.
And that gets back, that's like an early on leadership role that you're taking that lets him know that, you know, I'm not the only one that owns this food dish, right?
Actually, I tell people your dog owns nothing. It's all yours, and you let him use it.
There you go.
You're allowing them to use your things, but having the whole family involved in that puppy's initial dynamics in its home is going to be a big benefit to you later on too.
You might want it to be egalitarian, but the reality is that's not what a pack's all about.
And not at all. And that's why a pack survives in the wild. That's why everybody eats and everybody survives.
Yeah. So you're doing him a big favor just taking on that assertive role. So that's fantastic. And there's lots of great warm opportunities when you do that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, the next period was 16 weeks and...
16 to 20.
Let's talk a little bit about that. That's a second impression that's very important in their life.
In the second imprinting phase. And you try to revisit a lot of the things that maybe you did a pretty good job hitting in the 8 or 9 or 10 week phase, but you kind of got busy in 11 and 12, so you can come back and revisit some of the stuff, reinforce it.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I said earlier, dog training is positive behavior. Given positive reinforcement, the dog will repeat that behavior. Negative reinforcement for negative behavior, they try not to repeat the behavior. And so during that 16 to 20 weeks, if the weather wasn't what you wanted it to be from 8 to 12, but things are getting a little nicer now, we're coming into March and April, get back out there, try to get the dog out of the house and get him exposed. And again, as many places and situations and people as you possibly can.
Okay. We've got them past that 20 weeks of age. It seems like we spent a lot of time just relating to our dog in different areas. We've talked a little bit about leadership, but it seems as if maybe some more structured leadership might take place. When does that happen, and when do obedience classes come into play, and how important is the idea of taking a dog to obedience class?
I don't like to see a dog start formal obedience training. You know, I tell people, socialize your dog, potty train them, teach them some basic house manners as far as not begging at the table and those things. At 5 to 6 months of age is a good age to start teaching the dog in a formal obedience setting. You know, we offer group classes, and the one thing I really like about a group class is that it really throws in a lot of different dynamics. There's other people, mm-hmm. there's other dogs, it's mm-hmm. a new environment, and so the dogs get a real well-rounded exposure during that learning process. You know, I pretty much believe that dogs learn in three steps, and the three steps would be the first one is that the dog understands what response is expected for a stimulus. We say the word sit, we want their little bottom on the ground.
Okay.
So they have to understand the response for the stimulus. The second step is that we are consistent and that we follow through. So we use the same command each time, we don't change it, and we follow through and make them do it.
Uh-huh.
And then the third step, which is one of the more important ones in my mind, is that they generalize the behavior. Generalizing behavior means they don't just behave when they're in class, or they don't just behave when they're at home, but regardless of the environment or the situation or what's going on around them, sit is sit, down is down, stay is stay. In a group obedience class, you get all of that. You get the dog understanding that even though there's other dogs that I'd rather go run around and play with, or other owners, or I don't like this guy standing next to me, I'm still required to sit next to my owner and walk politely and not drag. And we like to start all those things at around 5 to 6 months of age. It's a good maturity level for the dog to actually learn and retain what we're teaching.
Sounds like he needs to become a good citizen, and that's exactly what this is doing, is actually becoming his, you know, almost getting his citizenship award.
Absolutely, and on a kind of a side note to that, we do offer the American Kennel Club Canine Good Citizen testing out there at the completion of an obedience class if people want to go on and get that kind of a certificate for their dog, because that tests all those social skills, strangers and other dogs and all those things.
So somebody actually saying, wow, your dog is amazing. It's not coming from coincidence. It's oftentimes coming from a structured learning process.
And a lot of hard work. You know, we teach it. We run an 8-week obedience class. It's 1 hour each week for 8 weeks. And what I tell people is we're giving you tools each week. You come for an hour with your dog. We're going to give you tools. We're going to help you work those tools during the hour. And then it's incumbent upon you to go home in another 4 to 5 days a week, take the tools we've given you and use those and exercise them and work with your dog. And it takes hours of our hard work. You look at some of the police dogs, if you watch them on TV or some of the ones locally here, those canine handlers dedicate hours of training to having those dogs at the level of performance that they're at. And there's no reason why we as pet owners can't have the same quality and behavior in our dogs at home.
You seem very, very passionate about this, Mike. I can tell by the conversations I've had with you. You really are committed. Now, if people want to just kind of get a hold of you and talk to you about their dog, is that a possibility, or do they need to pretty much sign up for a class in order to get this great words of wisdom from Mike Morgan?
Well, we talk to people every day, and there's no charge. I'll have people come in, and they in their mind, they've got some major behavioral problem. It takes us 3 to 4 minutes, and they've got it fixed, and we don't charge for that. Yeah, you can visit us on the web, internet, you know, at midmichigankennels.com, or you can call me out at the office at 663-2530. Okay. And we're more than willing to talk to people all the time and give whatever advice we can to help out.
Well, I know it's a little bit of a drive from Eaton Rapids. The weather is a little encumbered, but I appreciate you getting here, and thanks for being on the station.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back with more on Mid-Michigan's Pet Expert Talk Show, 1320 WILS.